Open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. This will be a little different for me this morning. There's been a lot of people down through the years that have wrote down what the Lord has given them. And we can read it. And it's a real big help.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just really is just like a prescription that just nails it, man. And I read something this morning that just really, if it wasn't for my absolute, I just feel like I'm just like blatant plagiarism. I'd do what you did the other day and reading that sermon. Because, man, I just accidentally stumbled upon it. And it was very timely. And full disclosure, I'll start with that. But I'm going to try to share with you what I got from that. And it was Spurgeon. It was more than just the morning and evening. It was a sermon. And I don't know. I know it sounds bad to say it this way, but I've tried to read things like that in the past, and it just seems so boring. It's so hard to read, and these and thous and back and forth between his English and then his reverent depiction of what he's trying to say. And I don't know, it was always so hard to keep up with. I could find something else to read. But this morning, it was exactly what I needed for me. It just really helped me. Really helped me this morning. And I feel like it'll help you too. If I can make it make sense. There's a lot there. I think I know why they wrote their sermons out back then. Because there was so much that had to be said, they just read them. Because it got it all out. Anyway. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" I've read that verse many times growing up, you know, in our Bible reading and everything. You read Proverbs about every month if you kept up with it. And, you know, I've read that verse many, many times. And it was just some of the Proverbs, it's kind of like you said the other day in reference to the Proverbs, it's just good advice. It's facts and just the way things are. They're not necessarily promises. They're just observations of reality. And this is one of those things. And for a young guy, like a boy growing up, you don't have enough life experience to be able to reference to make application for some of these things. It's funny how it's like a time release capsule of knowledge and wisdom. As you go through life and you experience things in life, a verse in the Bible that you'll read as an adult will absolutely make 100% more sense than it did when you were young reading it. Because you just didn't have the life experience yet. You hadn't been beat up enough yet for it to make sense. But let's try to do this here. "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" Well, infirmity. When we think of infirmity, we think of sickness, like the people on our prayer list there with all the cancer and all the different physical problems. And certainly infirmities they do fall in that category. But infirmities, as it references it here, is just trouble. It's just trouble. Troubles that come on you in life. Physical, mental, financial, you know, in relationships, in your social group, and at work. There's all kinds of things. Financial infirmities. I mean, look around you and understand. I mean, think of, another synonymous word like maladies or just calamity or troubles, just problems and troubles. I don't think anybody in here is immune or exempt from them. We have all got infirmities. There are things that they come in a variety of shapes and sizes, don't they? I mean, and what might be an infirmity for you might not be for me. There's things that everybody has to deal with on all kinds of different levels, in different arenas of life. And we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. You know, there's things that I've never struggled with that I've had to deal with, but they've not been an issue. But then somebody directly related to me, like my wife, for example, might have a real problem dealing with that same exact thing. But because of my relationship with her, I've got to slow down and understand it from a different person's perspective and give it validity, you know, or help them through it. If I'm strong in that area, I'm to help those who are not. Just the same as I would hope somebody would do for me if I was struggling with something that they don't struggle with. But infirmities, we all have them. We've all had them, and there's a bunch that we ain't had yet.
Yeah.
And that's something that you should never forget or take for granted. There's more coming. I hate to say that, because who wants to entertain the thought of more problems and more troubles are coming? But they will. They will. We know that as just a fact of life. To pretend that it's not so is denial in its purest form. And, you know, dealing and living in fantasy like we've talked about before. The spirit of man will not find it difficult to sustain that infirmity if that spirit is sound and strong. There are people, just like I said, that they can take the absolute worst life beaten that you ever have seen, and they act like it don't even faze them at all. Even lost people. There's people that don't know the Lord and don't have His strength that you watch just go through the grinder. And they just keep plugging along. But the thing is that without the Lord, even the strongest people that you've ever known to endure hardship and infirmities of the infirmities of life, that will come to an end for them. They will come to the end of their own strength, and you will see them succumb to the heavy burden of the infirmities of life. They're unavoidable. And some of them are endurable, and some of them just bring you to your knees. So, what kind of spirit will sustain a man in his infirmities? Well, I would first say that a gracious spirit. A gracious spirit, a spirit that knows what the grace of God actually is. A spirit that has experienced the grace of God. The kind of grace that will carry you through a hard time when nothing else will. The kind of grace that you can't really explain to someone else. There's times when you can articulate it a little bit better, but then there are things that you go through that only the Lord sustains you. And when someone says, "Boy, you must be awful strong. You know, I got a lot of respect for that man right there. He is a strong individual." And if you talk to him, you'd probably be amazed at how much he just couldn't really explain it to you. Other than the fact that in his absolute moment of, "This is the end of me, I can't do no more," the Lord sustained him. A gracious spirit is a spirit that will sustain him in his infirmities, and you too. Another kind of spirit is one that's born again. Obviously, a gracious spirit that's experienced the grace of God has been born again. He's bound by more than just his own strength and his own grit to get through the hardships. There's something that he's not just leaning on and leaning into, but something that upholds him. He's bound up by it. You know, they used to talk about binding up wounds. That was the verbiage that they used, is you get wounded and you bind it up. Well, why? Well, because it contains everything. That wound has made the flesh to where it cannot support itself, and so it must have something else to bind it up. We stitch them up now with thread or whatever, and stitches. But used to, they would bind up a wound. And a spirit that is bound up. Look, on your best day that you've ever had, there's still going to be things come along that you cannot overcome. That you're going to have His support, His binding of you to make it through it. A spirit of a man that will sustain him through these infirmities is one that's bound up by God. Another kind of spirit that will sustain you through your infirmities is a spirit that is confident in God. A spirit that is a believing spirit. To sustain infirmity, the spirit cannot be one of doubt or fear or mistrust. There's a whole, man, I can just stop right there and talk about fear. I heard a comment this week. Somebody said that fear is the main source of most of your anger. If you boil it down and like distill it back down to where most of your anger at others or just at infirmities or circumstances or whatever come from, you can find a whole lot of fear that exists in that same room. Fear of not being able to overcome it. Fear because you're not in control of the circumstances. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of death. Fear of all kinds of things. You know, there are people in this world, so many more than you know, that even sit right in church all of their life, and their life is completely ruled by fear. They claim to have peace with God, but there is no peace because their life is ruled by fear. Even the inconsequential elements of their life is still like just lorded over by fear. It is the filter that everything, even truth and reality and all, gets filtered through for them. Fear. They fear. They're scared to death of everything. They're scared of the unknown. They're scared of hypothetical imaginations. And they're fearful. And, you know, the Bible speaks on that extensively about, I mean, first on the list of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God is the fearful. Fearful of what? Of just what we're talking about here. A spirit of man, a spirit that will sustain a man in his infirmities is one that has confidence in the Lord. Well, how do you have confidence in something? You know them. You know them. You know a lot about them. You know what is trustworthy about them. You know what there is to know about why you should be able to have confidence in them. Therefore, you do have confidence in them. The Bible says it's not wise for you to put your confidence in man. I think we know that that's a true statement. So who is there that is worthy of putting your confidence in? There's only really one at the end of the day. And you want you want the spirit that's in you to be able to sustain you through infirmities? It's got to be confidence in God. That spirit has no power. The one of doubt and fear and mistrust, it has no power. Strength lies in believing. That's the only place. If you can trust, you can work. If you can trust, you can suffer and still make it through it. Why? Because your confidence isn't in your performance. It's in Him. That old song about the, you know, stand up for Jesus. That second verse says, the arm of flesh, He says, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, watching unto prayer. It's like our verse. A consecrated spirit will help sustain you through your infirmities. One that's devoted and dedicated. More than just a weekend Christian. More than just, like my horseshoer friend said, that the people who don't want to pay very much get a lick and a promise. That's what they get. And I feel like that's a lot of times that's all God gets from us. It's just a lick and a promise. No, consecration. That's more than devotion or dedication. Consecration is something that's set aside for only one purpose. And that's what we say that we do when we give our lives to Christ. We consecrate ourselves to Him. But do we? Are you overcome by your infirmities? I'd check my consecration. Yeah. For sure. No matter what the circumstances, always seeking a way in which He can bring glory to God. Are you rich? The man that's consecrated to God, the wealthy man, says, "What can I do with this wealth as a good steward to bring glory to God?" Are you poor? That same man that's poor, that's consecrated, will say, "How in my poverty can I bring glory to God somehow?" Are you sick? The man laying on his sick bed will say the same thing. "How in my illness can I bring glory to God?" That's his mindset. That spirit can overcome infirmity. Does that mean that you'll jump up out of that bed and be healed? Only if God wills it, but that's not what he's inferring. It's talking about how you can overcome. Be sustained through all this. Well, what is a wounded spirit? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit. Well, there's a lot of things that can wound your spirit. I mean, I feel like sometimes, and I don't know how I can, let me see if I can say this the right way. I feel like we ought to develop a thicker spiritual hide. Because I feel like we are wounded, or we feel that we are wounded, way too easy. It has a lot to do with the fact that we take everything personally, because we've put ourselves out in front of God's work. It's us. That's why we take it personal when things happen that we wish wouldn't happen. It just does. But you can be wounded by disappointment in love. But here's the thing. What you set your affection on can sometimes be the worst thing for you. Most of the time it is, if you're not careful. He said in that sermon, he's talking about setting your affection on the things of the earth. He said there was a service one time and a Quaker lady stood up and said that "Verily I perceive that children are an idol." Sat down. She said she didn't know why she said that, but it turns out there was a lady in that same service that wouldn't wear anything but black clothes and had for years because she had lost a child and she had never forgiven her God for what He had done to her. And by doing this, she would not let go of her mourning because she eventually became bitter at God. Blamed Him for it. It wasn't fair. It wasn't. She made an idol out of something that she set her affection on. And she was wounded by it, but the outcome of it was her absolute walking away from God. What else can you be wounded by? Well, the cruelty of men. I mean, that goes without saying. What a broad brushstroke that is. The cruelty of men. People are cruel. And they really can be. Beyond what's necessary. Children are cruel. They can be very cruel. And, you know, it always makes me sad to see children who are cruel. That means that there is something very much missing in their life. Somebody has not done any kind of due diligence with them or whatever. Somebody's missed the boat big time. And they have cruel children. But it's a fact. It always has been. I mean, anyway, you can be wounded by cruelty of men. How about the ingratitude of those that you've helped and loved? You know, this is something that really does wound. And it seems like it's one of the harder ones to get past. You know, as a parent, it's one of those things that I never anticipated that it would feel that way. Wounds. By sorrow. Be wounded by sorrow. Sorrow is one of those things that, like bereavement, sorrow from bereavement. It's hard. See, folks, I mean, how much has been going on here in the last month in our community around here, fairly local? People dying and untimely deaths. And you sit and think about what their families must be going through. And, you know, it's wounding. Their spirit can be wounded. It is wounded by all this. By sickness. I mean, it goes without saying too. It's just like this morning. You know, Grandpa, he's an old man. And he's lived a long, full life. And it's to be expected for there to be health problems and stuff when folks get old. The body that just fails you over time. But I still, it's hard for me to watch it. Because, I mean, all my life, he's always been one of the strongest people I knew. I idolized him in a lot of ways. And, you know, this is just the way life is. It's a reality check of the way things really are. And what's coming to even me someday. You know? The sadness of it all, a lot of times, is that there's no preparation made for it. I'm talking about mentally. You know? You wind up not being able to do things that you think you can do long before you don't think you can do them anymore. It's usually what it gets people in hot water with health problems, is that they overdo it because they still think they can. But they can't. And to sit and watch that whole process that's happened for millions of other people through the eons of time, but to sit and watch it, especially with someone that you love, it's hard on your spirit. If you're not careful, it'll wound your spirit.
Yeah.
But more than anything, and this is something that he said that just really, like, you know, we, because we're just people, that's what humans do. You focus on all of my problems. Those are the things that wound me. All these things, these infirmities of life that can wound me. All the stuff we've been talking about. But he said, what's worse than any of that is your spirit being wounded by this incredible sense of guilt for where you stand with God. Imagine the soul that is struggling with the battle for his soul, coming to a full understanding of his guilt before God as a sinner, condemned, and yet not wanting to let go of the reins of that life and give his life to God. The guilt and the angst of soul, the struggle of conviction. What in the world can fix a wounded spirit like that? Well, there's only one thing. One thing.
Yep. Amen.
And then a wounded spirit from backsliding. Guilt wounds the spirit. You know, it's one of the devil's most effective tools, especially for discouraging a Christian, is bringing up the sins of your youth, the sins of your past, the things that God said, I have forgiven you for. I've put them, I will remember them no more. But you remember them. And the devil makes sure that it comes up every once in a while and just tries to wound your spirit with the things that the Lord's already forgave you for. I've been back to the Lord a bunch of times. And then there's an amount of guilt that comes along with that, because then I realize He has forgiven me for this, and here I am still wallowing in this, and then I feel guilty for that. And then you see how it's like compounding interest on a loan or something. It's It's a slippery slope. Or let's say that you toy with sin as a believer, but you entertain that thought again and you mess around, and the next thing you know, you're having to go find a place to get on your knees. Ask for forgiveness. And apologize. You ever apologize to God? Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know why. Man, you carry that around with you all the time. That wounds your spirit.
Yep.
So, how do you avoid this, you say? How do you avoid a wounded spirit? Well, never offend your conscience. What's that mean? Well, do right. Make a real attempt to do the best you can, like we talked about last week, and actually do what God says for you to do and consecrate your life to Him and walk in that consecration, and don't offend your conscience. You know, if you have a conscience towards right and you do something that's wrong, what is it that nags at your soul until you have to do something about it? It's your conscience. It's your conscience. He said, conscience makes us all cowards. You got to think about that for a while, because at first that don't really make a lot of sense. But if your conscience is consecrated to God, your life, then your conscience will be the Holy Spirit. It's not Jiminy Cricket telling you to not do something wrong. It's God's Holy Spirit. And you can't bow up against it. You must do something about it. Never offend your conscience. Have a clear view and understanding of the gospel. This is how you avoid having a wounded spirit. What do you mean an understanding of the gospel? Well, what it is that God did for mankind by sending His Son. He preaches about it all the time, about how that He came to deliver His people from their sin. Sin is what separates us from God. Our sin, your sin, is what comes between you and God and your relationship with Him. Start letting stuff creep back into your life and feel it get cold. He will turn away from you until you make it right. He can't be where it's at. You ever felt God step away from you as a Christian? I have. It's almost worse than the conviction I felt before I was born again. And the angst of soul that I felt is feeling Him step away from me because of my choices. Oh no, 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 no. You understand what He did on the cross and through His death and His burial and His resurrection. What He did about sin and the power that He gave you to be able to overcome sin through Him. It'll help you avoid having a wounded spirit. You'll be one of those men that can sustain His infirmity. His spirit can sustain His infirmity. You won't be wounded. And by living very near to God, stay close to the shepherd, then will come the calm and heavenly frame. That's what He said. He said this. The sheep that gets bit by the wolf got bit because he's not close to the shepherd. You say, well, the shepherd's dog bit me. And He said, the shepherd's dog didn't bite you to hurt you, but if you'd have been near the shepherd, he wouldn't have bit you either.
That's right.
Sometimes you come to church and what you hear here, it bites. But if it does, it's because it needs to. Yeah. Get in there close to the shepherd and you won't have a wounded spirit. You can avoid being wounded in spirit by all these infirmities because you are where you're supposed to be. How about how to heal a wounded spirit? Well, there's only one that can heal you. And there's only one way for your wounded spirit to be healed. By His stripes we're healed. He is the only source of strength that you're going to get to heal you from things that's happened to you by the infirmities of life. Yes, it's good to have family that you know loves and cares for you and that'll help you through hard times. Yes, it's good to know that you have a church family that understands and that's not going to stand back and judge you one way or the other. They're just going to help you through this hard time. It's good to know that. It's good to have it. It's imperative to have that. But there will come a point, even in that chain of support, where that will fail you if you don't have Him. I've grown up in church and I've watched even my dad preaching for all these years. I've watched him sit in church and only have God to lean on. You know, nobody to, and not just him, how many others before you? How many others? Nobody that ever did anything that amounted to anything for God went without persecution from other people trying to wound their spirit and discourage them in the way, or just right out and out take them out. That's what he said. He said, if you plan on living for God, then you need to accept this and get used to it. And learn this important lesson about how to keep your spirit from being wounded. Because once you learn where to be so your spirit don't get wounded, then things don't bother you anymore. Even the cruelty of men, even sorrow, even bereavement, even all the list of things that we talked about that can wound your spirit, he said, they won't bother you. Because you know where you're supposed to be. You are where you're supposed to be. In Him. Try removing from your life unnecessary mistakes that are causing you sorrow. You know, we like to blame a lot of our troubles on just happenstances of life and the things that come along. But in reality, especially, ask someone else, do you think what I'm doing is causing me these problems? You'd be shocked at how many problems you bring on yourself by the choices that you make, the places that you won't stop going to, the people you won't stop hanging out with or letting influence your life. Yep. Stop making unnecessary mistakes that are causing you sorrow. That's another good way to help heal a wounded spirit. Cast out the scorner and the strife will cease, the Bible says. Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Get a clear view of your own troubles. He said, write them down in black and white and then have a friend read them. He said, and a lot of times that'll solve the problem. He said, it might even make you laugh.
Yeah.
Once you write out your problems and then read them or have someone read them to you. Because like I said at the beginning, I feel like we're a bunch of pansies when it comes to things. I mean, if greater is He that is in us than He's in the world, and we can't take a little rough water, mercy. Remember Christ's sympathy with you. Don't forget that. He's had a cupful for every drop that you've had. He said, is it bitter? This is what you're going through. Is it bitter? He's had every bit of it. He knows. And He sympathizes with you. You need to understand that. Get an enlarged view of the love of God. Think well of God and His goodness. You know, how quick we are to forget the goodness of God. The reality of just how who He is, His character. A lot of times we'll pay too much heed to the voices that are trying to disparage the character of God. And we forget. Remember the true brevity of your own affliction. You say, Well, this, you don't understand. I've got a disease and it's going to kill me. Well, do you know the Lord? Does He bind you up? Are you going to spend eternity with Him? In the grand scheme of eternity, in the light of eternity, how brief is this life? It don't even register. Matter of fact, someday it won't even exist because our life exists in time. And in eternity, there is no time. With God, there is no time. And so, if you're feeling like there's no victory in what you're going through, just remember that even if it takes you all the way out, that's only the beginning. And it won't even be remembered. The brevity of your... And then think about it. Our light affliction, as Paul said. Our light affliction. Things we go through may seem really bad today. And maybe next week too. But eventually, they all kind of float away, don't they? Grandpa says it all the time. He says, well, in 100 years, it ain't going to make no difference anyway. It takes a lot less than 100 years, I'll tell you that. Can you remember anything that happened 5 years ago that you thought you weren't going to be able to make it through? Not really. Unless you wrote it down somewhere. And just remember what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. At the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Whatever spirit that's in you is what will sustain you or will allow you to be wounded by the infirmities of life. I don't feel like I did that any justice at all, but I'm telling you right now that really encouraged me this morning. It really did. Amen.